The following audio is from Hope Hill Church. To learn more about Hope Hill Church, please visit hopehillchurch.org.
Today is a day that we are kicking off a brand new series, and it ties all of these things in together. If you've been coming to Hope Hill for any amount of time, hopefully you've noticed that our DNA is about being the church. Church is not what we are. Church is not what we go to. It's who we are. And that's one of my main points for today. How did I mess that up? But you're going to hear a lot more about it. All month, we're kicking off a series that we're calling, everybody say it with me, Team Hope, okay? We are here to offer the hope of Jesus to our world. And we cannot do it alone. We're not called to do it alone. We're here to empower others and to bring the hope that can be found in knowing Jesus Christ. Now, Jesus didn't just come and point people to heaven and point people to the Father and leave them hungry and leave them hurting and leave them without care. He met their physical needs. He saw them as sheep without a shepherd, and he came down to meet those needs. And now he's left us here to carry on that mission, to not just gather together in our little huddles inside buildings we sometimes too often call churches, mistakenly thinking that the church is something you go to. Instead, we're called to be in these places that I'd rather call a locker room or a place where we huddle up to get our game plan for how we're to play the game of life and be the church out in the field every day. So we want to encourage you, inspire you to become part of the team, not just to sit in the stands or the chairs, but to start participating, to start playing your role. Each and every one of us have a role to play, and Julie is going to help lead us this month in helping you get plugged in. She is our volunteer coordinator year-round, not just in October, but this month we're taking time to specially put some specific focus on areas where you can serve. So, Julie, come tell us more.
Good morning, Hope Hill Church. We are absolutely thrilled to kick off the month of October as our volunteer or Team Hope month. So as part of this campaign, we would like to invite people to join this initiative and serve as a volunteer at Hope Hill Church. Whether it's just once a month, twice a month, or once a week, it's totally up to you. We have a connection center set up in the back and plenty of opportunities. If ever you wonder how those chairs get there, how the coffee gets made, who holds your babies while you're sitting in here, who's teaching our children about Christ, who's helping to park the cars, who's helping with setup and tear down, who's singing the awesome worship music that we have. We have an AV team back there. We have a translation team. We have prayer teams. We have so many opportunities to serve here. So whether you're an introvert and don't really do well with, you know, speaking to people, we have jobs for you there too as well. And we have plenty of opportunities for leaders. So if you have those types of skills, we have a specific interest in speaking to you as well. So there are opportunities spread across this church. Every job is open. I would like to ask that if there are any of you currently serving as a volunteer, please stand up. I ask that you please stand up.
That's great.
I would like to give them a round of applause. So we, you can take your seats. We are that them. We are those people. We are the ones serving. We are the hands and feet of Christ every Sunday. We are the ones making this happen, and we absolutely could use a lot of help in that area. We are happy to have you join us. We are, while supplies last, giving you a little gift. As you sign up, you will get a gift in the back of the room. If you're currently serving as a volunteer, we have T-shirts for you that look like this and say this. They're pretty cool. So just ask that you think about it during the service. And before you leave, rather than going out those side doors, please join us in the back of the room. We will have leaders of each ministry standing back there to welcome you into their ministry and give you an opportunity to sign up. Oh, one last thing. At the end of all of this, and every year. We have a huge party, a volunteer appreciation party. This year it's November 3rd. It falls on a Friday, and it's country western theme. It's going to be super fun. We would love for you to be a part of that party. So just mark your calendar, save the date. We really look forward to celebrating with you. Thank you.
Awesome. Thank you, Julie. Thank you. Thank you. So, let's dive in. What we're talking about is Team Hope. What we're talking about really builds every week. Hopefully it's like an echoing message you're hearing every week. A couple weeks ago, we talked about how Jesus asked Peter, "Who do you say that I am? Who are you hearing people talk when they talk about me? Who are they saying I am?" And Peter proclaimed the right words. Everybody else were like, "Well, you're like a prophet. You're a great teacher." And Peter said, no, you're the Messiah." And Jesus said, "That's right. And now that you know my role, I'm going to tell you your role. You are Peter, and your name, I changed it from Simon to mean rock. And upon this rock, I'm going to build my church." And we read throughout scriptures that we are also, like Peter, living stones that God is building together to form into what is called the church. It wasn't until 300 AD that we started thinking of church as a building and not necessarily a people. And we have to rescue that idea. We have to take that idea back. When Constantine put out a decree that churches would become official, these buildings started going up, and in many ways that was great, but in many ways we started thinking, church is what I do an hour a week when I go to that building down in the end of the street. And we need to get into the mindset that, like Acts chapter 2, we are called to be the church 7 days a week, every day of the year. I forgot how many days are in a year. 365. Four? Five on a leap year? Okay, so anyway, we're going to dive into the Bible because I know that a little better than math. Here we go. John chapter 4 is where we're going to pick up, and we're going to receive, hopefully, some encouragement. This account in the book of John happens right after Jesus has just spent some time in an area on the other side of the tracks, an area where Jewish people would not normally go. They would actually go 100 miles out of the way, if necessary, to go around a land called Samaria. And Jesus walks straight through the middle of town. He encounters a woman who's there at noon in the heat of the day because she's an outcast. She doesn't want to go there when the other women go. I don't have time to get into all the details. It's a beautiful story how Jesus speaks into a broken woman's life and gives her living water. At the end of this time of seeing revival start to take place in this land, it's been hard work. The disciples are kind of concerned of what's going on with Jesus. They're afraid maybe he needs something to drink or something to eat. And so concerned, they say this to him in John chapter 4:31. It says, "Meanwhile, his disciples urged him, 'Rabbi, eat something.'" How many of you are hungry? I haven't had breakfast. I'm starving already. "Eat something." Even Jesus was God. He was God, totally divine, and yet he had become man. And even as God, as a man, Jesus had hunger. And the disciples, his closest friends, were concerned about him. And they were like, "Come on, Jesus, you got to eat something." But check out his response. He said to them, "I have food to eat that you know nothing about." I'm sure this really confused them. They were probably thinking, "Did somebody slip them a Happy Meal when we weren't looking? How is it? I mean, I haven't eaten anything. What's going on here?" "I have food that you know nothing about." Then his disciples said to each other, "Could someone have brought him some food?" And Jesus said these words, "My food," said Jesus, "is to do the will of him who sent me." And what? Say it. A little louder. Finish his work. You and I are called to now carry on this message, to finish the work that God began. Jesus came to do the will of God and to finish his work. And this is his way of saying that I'm not here to be a consumer. I'm not here to just take what the world has to offer and fill my own soul. I'm here to contribute. And today I want to talk about how Team Hope, how we are contributors. We are called to not be spiritual consumers, but spiritual contributors. Like Jesus, we are called to walk in his footsteps. And yes, we need to eat. I mean, some of us maybe need to eat a little less, but we all need to eat. We all need to get our daily intake so that we can give our daily outtake. That didn't make sense, but you get what I'm saying. We need to be fed so that we can feed others, and there are going to be times when our focus should always be on how we can contribute and not how we can consume. Brandy and I watched a movie the other night, The Founder. Anybody seen it? About kind of the spread of McDonald's. And our eyes were open in a lot of ways. Yesterday we went to McDonald's and Brandy said, I feel kind of bad eating this. We should protest McDonald's. Not because of how bad the food is, because the food is really bad, but it's so good. But because of Ray Kroc. How many of you know the story? Okay, so we won't, half of you don't. It's an interesting movie of how McDonald's became what it is today. You should go read it. Feel bad for the McDonald's brothers. They didn't really get theirs. But anyway, McDonald's, what was fascinating to see in this story is they created the system, the speed system of how to make a burger from grill to counter in under 30 seconds. And they had this whole elaborate system. And every burger was made exactly the same way. They were able to keep it just running like a smooth running machine. And 15 cents a burger. They would just pump them out and lines would form around the block to get these burgers. But 1973 came and a new burger chain came. Anybody know what it was? And do you know what their slogan was? Have it your way. And the whole industry changed. If you don't want two pickles, you remember what McDonald's used to say? Two pickles, special sauce, lettuce, onion. Some of you know it better than I do. And you got it that same way every single time. But Burger King was like, you know what? You don't want pickles? No problem. You don't want lettuce? No problem. No pickles, no lettuce, no fuss, no muss. Have it your way. And it was all about the consumer becoming the king. It was all about whatever the consumer wants, let's give them. One author went on to write that the beginning of our community and our culture becoming consumeristic and self-centered forced realtors and retailers all around to focus on the consumer. And he wrote this. In fact, I heard one speaker talk about this. He wrote this. He said, a company will promote their quality, their value, their style, their service, their selection, their convenience, their savings, their performance, their experience, their low rates, friendly service, name brands, easy terms, affordable prices, money-back guarantees, free installation, free admission, free appraisal, free alterations, free delivery, free estimates, free home trials, free parking, no cash, no problem, no kidding, no fuss, no muss, no risk, no obligation, no red tape, no down payment, no entry fee, no hidden fees, no purchase necessary, no one will call on you, no payments until September, and don't forget to pick up your free gift, a classy, deluxe, custom designer, luxury, oh, my phone luxury, prestige, high quality, premium, one-of-a-kind pencil holder, yours for the asking, no purchase necessary. Why? Because you are that important to us, right? Have it your way. No lettuce, no pickles, no fuss. Special orders don't rattle us. Or however it goes. And all of a sudden, we became a consumer-minded society. Whew. Let's pray. No, I'm just joking. Jesus said, I have food that you know nothing about. There was a time in John chapter 6 where the masses had come to hear his teaching. They had heard about this man, Jesus, who taught, who wowed people, who was there healing and teaching with authority, and masses came from all around to hear him. And the disciples were getting worried because dinner time was coming and they had not eaten. Again, they're thinking about food. What is it with disciples and food? They had not eaten, and they had come to Jesus and said, "Jesus, we got to send these people away. They're hungry, and there's no way we can feed them." And what did Jesus say? "Tell them to sit down and feed them." What? And you know the story. Through a miracle, he took a few fish and a few loaves of bread, multiplied them, and everybody ate. And at the end, there was leftovers. The next day, he travels to the next part, and guess what? The crowd who had had their fill followed. If you know the story, they followed, and Jesus turns around and says to him this. He was like, "You're not looking for me because of me. You're looking for me because yesterday you had your bellies filled, and you need to realize that life is not just about living on bread that will spoil and fade and leave you hungry. I am the bread of life. I am the one that will fill you completely." And John 6, chapter 6, verse 66. Did you ever put that together? 666. It's kind of weird. The verse says, "And many left no longer to follow him," when he said those words. Many of us were into church for what church can do for us. Many of us, we go through seasons where we church shop. You ever said those words? We want to find a church that will meet our needs. And if you're here shopping, we're glad you're here. We're glad you're here visiting. But we want you to realize that we believe the church is not about us. We are not to be spiritual consumers. We are to be spiritual contributors. That's your blanks on your notes if you're taking notes. Church does not exist for us. We are the church, and we exist for the world. We are here to make a difference in our world. We have shirts that say, "I am the church." The other day I was out walking in Wegmans on the way to P.F. Chang's, and a family was sitting at a church outside at Joe's, eating one of my favorite meals there. The meatloaf there is amazing. And this gentleman says, "Nice shirt." For a minute there, I thought, I always wear Star Wars shirts. So I was like, "Oh, may the force be with you." And he looked at me weird. I looked down, "Oh, it's the I am the church shirt, not a Star Wars shirt." Anyway. So anyway, we are called to realize that we are the church. We are here to contribute to the needs of our society. I was eating it. Food keeps coming up in this message. I was eating at a kebab restaurant up near Rita's. Is Rita's really closed permanently? That makes me sad if it is. Anyway, I thought it was just seasonal closing. But I was in Rita's. It was right after a huge tornado a couple years ago that hit Oklahoma. You guys remember the biggest one, like 3 or 4 years ago? And one of the most amazing things that it was on the news was one of the local government officials said, "You know what? FEMA's not really been able to respond yet. We're still waiting for outside support to come. But what is really awesome is the church is already here." You get that? Churches were already stepping up and meeting people's needs and providing housing and shelter and caring for people who needed drinking water and food. And that is what we should be known for. If our church ceased to exist, we would hope our community would say, "Why are all the churches closing? Our needs aren't being met. We are here to make a difference." That's why a part of our mission says to glorify God, transform lives, and what? Hopefully you know it. Glorify God, transform lives. Say it. Thank you, Nathan. We are here to impact the world. We're here to make a difference. And Jesus said, "My food is not of this world. My food is to do the will of him who sent me and finish his work." So there's a little test I want us to take each day when we're here this month. Okay, I'm sorry. I know you don't like tests. A lot of you graduated from school years ago, but I want you to take a test of yourself. There's a little thing halfway down in your paper, and this is for you. No cheating. Don't put the answer somebody else puts. I want you to rate yourself. When it comes to your life as a person, are you a spiritual consumer or are you a spiritual contributor? where would you rate yourself? Don't put 10 because that's Jesus, okay? Now, unless you are like somehow been transformed and glorified and you are now Jesus, you go ahead and mark that 10. But some of you, yes, I'll mark it for you. Some of you are 8s and 9s all day long, every day. You are serving, you're giving of yourself, you're giving beyond your means. Some of you live that way every day. But if you're here today and you just kind of sit in church every once in a while, sit in a thing where you hear somebody teach and then you go on about your life, haven't checked your box, you're kind of probably down there at that lower end. One is probably for Satan, so you don't need to circle one, but you might be on that lower half. And our hope and our goal is to follow in the footsteps of Jesus and walk as he walked. Not just taking and receiving the blessing. Jesus said to Abram in Genesis 12, I will bless you so that you can bless the nations. Every blessing that we have is from God above and is given to us so that we can bless those God has placed around us. So real quick, as we kind of wrap this up today, two statements I want to give you. First of all, God wants us to serve his body in the church internally. We are called to serve one another. We are called to be there to equip each other, to enable each other, to build up each other, to encourage each other, to help each other when we struggle, to take each other to the next level. In Romans 12, 6 through 8, it says, in his grace, God has given each of us different gifts. If you are a child of God, you have been gifted by God to contribute to the needs of the body of Christ, to serve one another, serve each other as the church. God has given us different gifts for doing certain things well. So if God has given you the ability to prophesy, speak out with as much faith as God has given you. If your gift is serving others, serve them well. If your gift is being a teacher, teach well. If your gift is to encourage others, be encouraging. If it's giving, give generously. If God has given you leadership ability, take the responsibility seriously. And if you have a gift for showing kindness to others, do it gladly. I heard it once broken down like this, a quick spiritual gifts test. Imagine we're all eating apple pie, all right? And Anthony drops it on his lap. A way to tell you what your gift might be is to examine how you'd react in that situation. If you look at Anthony with this nice suit on, I don't know what's going on with Anthony today, but he's in a suit. If you look at Anthony and the pie just fell in his lap and you feel bad for him, and you're like, oh, I feel so bad, then maybe you have the spiritual gift of mercy. If you look at him and you're like, oh, how can we fix this right away, okay? You do this, you do that, somebody else get him another piece of pie, then you might have the gift for leadership or administration. If you look at the situation and you're like, oh, Anthony, don't worry. Look, and you drop it on your own lap, you might be an encourager. You don't want anybody to feel bad. You want everybody to feel like things are good and going fine. And if you look at him and go, I can't believe he did that, then you might have the gift of prophecy because you just see things as black and white and you probably had it coming. All right? So what gifts you have, you need to put to work. And here we just see 7 gifts listed, but there's many gifts. And God has wired us and shaped us, as Julie said earlier. Your gifts might be something that is not necessarily up in front of people. There is plenty that needs to be done behind the scenes. There are things that can be done in groups. There are things that you can do in the privacy of your own home. There are so many needs within the body for us to take care of each other. We are called to serve God in his church. Number 2, we are called to serve God as his church. Church is not something we go to, it's who we are. In our last series that we wrapped up a couple weeks ago on the Beatitudes, the whole purpose of us taking on the attitude of Christ is so we can be what he's called us to be. In Matthew 5:14, it says, you are the light of the world. A light doesn't shine, you know, we don't put it under a bucket or hide it in a bushel, the old song used to say. Instead, our light, each and every one of you are lights. You're to go out into the world so you can shine. You be the church. You are the light of the world. A town built on a hill cannot be hidden. Neither do people light a lamp and put it under a bowl. Instead, they put it on its stand, and it gives light to everyone in the house. In the same way, let your light shine before others, that they may see your good deeds and glorify your Father in heaven. We don't want to be Team Hope and Great Hope Hill Church and do things like partner with Image and do I Walk for Acts so that people look at us and go, wow, those are great people. And everything we do, we want to point people to Jesus. We want to say, we want to love on you because Jesus loved on us. In the midst of our mess and our brokenness, he loved us and he loves you just the same. And we use these times like reaching out to others as a way to open up a door for people's hearts to receive the love of Jesus and come to know our Father in heaven. I want to take a moment to brag on some people that are a part of us that get it. This first person, I hope you've seen him before. His name is Steve. Yeah, I hear a couple people hooting and hollering. Steve, they started coming sometime last, not even a whole year. I think it's been less than a year. But within months, they were, within weeks, they were like, how can we serve? You guys remember that little thing we did called a free sale? Steve showed up and said, I'll lead the transportation team. I think they were here maybe a month, and he was already ready to lead. He was driving around people's houses, many of your houses, picking up all kinds of things. He had a couple people show up to help him, and he loaded his trailer time and time again and came to the house, came to the school, dropping stuff off, working hard. And every time I came to him, I'm like, man, this guy's new. He's never going to come back again. He's like, no problem. That's what we're here to do. We're here to serve. That's a hero. Not just because he's wearing that uniform, but because the way he's serving our world. He knows what it means to be a part of Team Hope, and he's making a difference. There's a couple I want you to see. You guys have seen these guys before. Do you have that one? Larry and Jill? Larry, that picture's a little dark, but hopefully you know who they are. Every week, they're helping check kids in to our student ministries, making sure their needs are cared for. Larry's in the back almost every week, running AV, towing trailers, getting equipment different places, helping all kinds of ways. They serve on our youth ministry. They help feed kids every single Sunday night. They are constantly working, wearing multiple hats. They're amazing heroes. They're amazing members of Team Hope. Next one. You guys know this lady? Sharon? Sharon's one of the, yeah, some of you know Sharon. A lot of you who don't know, we have a building called Hope House. We bought a house. There's a lot of ministry that happens there. And in order for a lot of that ministry to happen, there's a lot of behind-the-scenes work that needs to be done. And there's people that secretly go over there and sneak in and do stuff when no one else is around. And Sharon's one of them. I went over there one day, and I'm unlocking the back door, and I walk in, and Sharon's in there all by herself. There's like no lights on except for this one little area where she's working. And she's been there for hours. I see stacks and stacks of clothes that she's folding and sorting and getting ready for our clothes closet. And I was like, wow, thank you for doing this. That's awesome. I came back the next day. Guess who was there still? I don't even know if she ever went home. She was still there folding clothes. I came back the next week. She was there by herself folding clothes time and time again so that people can have their needs met. Serving in the church and serving as the church. This next lady. Okay, she's in that picture. There's a lot of school supplies there. But in the very, very back top, you see Lene Henry back there pushing those carts full of school supplies. Lene gives until the giving wants to stop, but she just keeps going. She's over at that Hope House several days a week, mentoring and tutoring kids. She's meeting with girls in our church, picking them up, discipling them weekly. She runs a small Bible study at Starbucks or Panera with these young girls. She serves in our student ministry, helping run a small group. She works in a school in D.C. taking care of underserved kids, and she doesn't want to stop. Her dream is to own and run a center where all she does is care for people all day long. These are heroes. These are members of Team Hope. And we need more. We need more of you getting on board and making a difference in these ways. What's the next picture I got? A year ago, this beautiful lady began a whole new life. October 1st, 1 year ago today, she was baptized illegally, I must say. We broke the law, but sometimes it's okay to break the law. Her community group had a baptism night, and she was baptized. Shortly after that, she started saying, you know, I don't want to just be a consumer. I want to contribute. She's a teacher in the school system. She works with special needs children. And all year long, they were trying to find a way that they could serve the community. And they were collecting money. And at the end of the year, they took their money. Next picture. Do you have it? They show up in the school bus in front of our Hope House. And all these kids start getting out. Zoom into that next picture. And they're carrying these bags. They went to the store. They bought a ton of groceries to come. Next picture. They're carrying them in. Carrying them in. There you see Kelly. And in the back you see another person, part of our church, Kathy, there as well. They work together with those children. Next picture. They took those. Keep going. Keep scrolling. They brought all that stuff in. And they helped us launch our food pantry. Filling and stocking those shelves, meeting the needs of others. We're not called just to be changed and receive God's love. We're called to be instruments in His hands, bringing love to the world that God has placed us in. To be members of Team Hope, to not be spiritual consumers, but spiritual contributors. And it began actually more than a year ago. Kelly, will you come on up here? Let's hear it for Kelly. A little more than a year ago, I don't know exactly how long, Kelly lost her dad, and she was struggling. She was had unanswered questions. She had heard about God growing up, but she just was hurt, really struggling. And her friends around her knew that she was hurting and struggling. And one of those friends is Kathy. Come on up, Kathy. Kathy, a member of Hope Hill Church, a member of the Prince William Parkway Community Group, saw her friend and coworker hurting. Kelly wasn't a part of our church, but Kathy reached out and wanted to love on her and to help her out. And so she invited her to come be a part of a warm environment where good food has had, where they get together and play games, and they also study something called the Word of God. In this community group, will you guys come on up? Those of you who are part of a community group decided to surround Kelly and to love on her. As members of the body of Christ, members of Team Hope, they were surrounding Kelly with love and encouraging her to not let the world beat her up, to not let an enemy win, but to surround her with love and hope. And it didn't just end there. They invited her to this thing called a church service. And when she came in, many of them who are standing here were members of that greeter team. But if you're a member of our greeter or usher team, will you come on up? Come on. Work with me here. All our greeters, our ushers, if you serve in one of those capacities, come on up here. I know a lot of them are already up here because they serve on those teams. She was greeted warmly and welcomed. One of the hosts took her and her children back to our check-in station where she was welcomed by Jill and members of her team. Our children's check-in team, come on. If you serve on that team, get up here. Come on. Children's check-in. All right. She felt warmth. She felt welcome. She had those deep needs, deep hurts, and she wanted to talk. So there were times when she would just send her kids to the programs, and they would be loved on by our preschool team. Preschool team, are they with our preschoolers now? A lot of them are running preschool right now, but those of you serving preschool, they loved on her little beautiful babies. Can you go back to that family picture, Mason? Her little ones were being loved on there. And at the same time, instead of coming to service at times at first, she just needed somebody to talk to. Brandy. Our counselors, any of our other lay counselors here, started meeting with Kelly to help her understand how to deal with hurt, how to deal with grief, how to find hope in Jesus. And I don't want to forget, invited to a women's retreat. Those of you who helped pull that off, it was a time of emotional healing. It was a time of studying the depth of the word to see why sometimes bad things happen and to find hope in Jesus. And so many of our women who are part of women's ministry and women's retreat started pouring into Kelly. And do you see what's happening around her? This is the body of Christ. Where's Devin? He's not here. Devin started coming to youth group. Devin started coming to youth group. Gary, get up here. Youth workers, get up. We're not going to have anybody in the chairs. Devin started being loved on. Men's ministry. Any of you that help run men's ministry. Mike started coming to men's group. And Mike doesn't always make it to church, but he even made it a couple times to men's group when men's group was accidentally canceled. He was showing up because he was feeling loved and warm and appreciated. And I'm sure almost every single person in here has had one way of touching Kelly's life. She gave her heart to Christ a year ago. She got baptized a year ago. And now she's not just consuming. She's being a contributor. But let's hear for this team Hope behind her. That we're all part of the hands and feet of Jesus in her life. Father God, I thank you that we get to be a part of Team Hope. I thank you that we get to be a part of your kingdom. You use each and every one of us in ways that many times we wouldn't even imagine. I thank you for friends like Kathy who reached out to Kelly in her time of need. I thank you for the team behind us and the team that's represented by those standing here that had a part to play in sharing your love and your warmth and your hope with Kelly. I thank you for the team here that is not spiritual consumers, but spiritual contributors. And I pray that you continue to raise up from among us more volunteers, more leaders, more people who will be your body, the body of Christ that you've called us to be. That we would realize that our food is not the things of this world. What fills us up, what satisfies us, is doing your will, Lord Jesus, and finishing your work. That we are filled and satisfied by living for you and doing what you've called us to do. So show us, each of us, God, how we can be filled by you. As you guys take a seat, I want to continue in our time of response. God loves each and every one of us. And he invites us to be a part of his family, to be a part of what he's doing. He wants to love all. Jesus was sent to die for the sins of the world. John 3:16 says, "For God so loved the world." And we are the instruments through which his love flows now, that he's left us here to finish his work. So if you're here today and you don't know Jesus in that way, you don't know his love, you can leave here today having received it. The scriptures tell us that if you look to him and simply put your hope and faith and trust in him, if you believe that 2,000 years ago he came and died on a cross, having his blood shed and his body broken for us to take on our sins, the scriptures say that though our sins be as scarlet, though our lives be stained red with the darkness of sin, his blood will wash us white as snow. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just and will forgive us of all of our sins. Your deepest, darkest sins, he will wipe away and make clean and give you a second chance and a third chance and a fourth chance. He's ready to receive you today, to make you his own, to wrap his arms around you, to love you and accept you. All you have to do is call out to him. Father God, I pray right now for those who are sitting in this room who may not know who you are, that they would realize that if they call out to you right now, you will transform them in a moment, in an instant. So God, I pray on behalf of those sitting here. Father God, forgive us. Help us to know who you are. Come into our life and change us and make us new. Help us to learn what it means to follow you. Make us a child of yours. And now, God, I pray for those who are in this room who already know you as Lord and Savior. Help us to realize our part in the role of the body of Christ and being a part of Team Hope, of being a part of your mission, not just being a spiritual consumer, but a spiritual contributor. step towards doing whatever it is you're calling us to do. As our worship team leads us in closing this morning, I invite you, as you feel ready, to come on up and to take a piece of bread, a symbol of the body of Christ broken for us, that you dip it in a cup, a symbol of his blood. And as you eat and taste of this, you remember what he did for us so that we can now go and do it for him. Let us live in response of who he is and what he's done for us. And as you leave today, don't just leave. Stop by and sign up to be a part of the church that God has called you to be. Inside your handout is a yellow fold-out brochure listing many of the ways that you can serve in our church and as our church. Don't just run out today. Take time, linger behind, look at your folder, pray and ask God where it is that he wants you to serve. And if today you gave your heart to Jesus, I want to celebrate that with you. Come let me know. Let one of our prayer team members know that's in the back. We'd love to pray.